Take your Bible tonight and go over the book of Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. If you know anything about Luke chapter 23, you know that this is a time when Jesus is before Pilate. And in verse 33, that is when they're taking him and that to crucify him. And the Bible said in verse 33, and when they were come to the place, which is called Calvary, the only place in your King James Bible where you will find the word Calvary is right there. And one time or 100 times or 1,000 times, boy, thank God for Calvary tonight. We sang that old song, is it page 105? And is that 105 years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not that my Lord was crucified? My wife shaking her head. 131? 39, but at Calvary, 105 is how beautiful heaven must be. Me and my wife ain't played that game in a while. But anyway, coming back to Calvary, Calvary is a place where my sin was took care of. And that ought to do something for us tonight. And there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet tonight as we get ready to read the text scripture. And let's begin to read in verse 35. And one of those malefactors tonight is who I'm going to deal with. In verse 35, the Bible said, "And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrews, This is the king of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. Well, the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. You can be seated. Heavenly Father, touch us now. Help us while we might preach. Save somebody that's lost, maybe a man, woman, boy, or girl. Maybe it's been young and it's come to the age of accountability and needing to get saved. Tonight would be a good night for them to get saved. I pray you'd touch us and know us afresh. Give us the words these folk need to hear. And we'll give you the glory for it, for this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. As we look at this passage of Scripture that I read, as they are now in the middle of the crucifixion process, as they have hung him up, at Calvary. And if you could kind of get in your mind what's going on right here. As a matter of fact, in verse 34, Jesus has forgave them or asked for forgiveness. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And what are you talking about? What love? Amen. What love that Christ Jesus had for those that were crucifying him. And even for them two malefactors that were hanging beside him. And listen, as I mentioned at the beginning of the service, John and that little band of women that were standing down there at the foot of the hill, if I could say it that way, as they stood and they watched what took place, not only were they crucifying Jesus, but the Bible said right here that they derided him, they mocked him, they offered him vinegar to drink, and said, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. They put a superscription over his cross that said, This is the king of the Jews. And then one of the malefactors, in the book of Matthew tells us that they were thieves, is why they were being crucified. One of the malefactors were railing on Christ and said, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. And all he was looking for, and that was a way to get out of trouble right now. I don't believe that this malefactor believed that Jesus was the Christ.
But notice right here, the other one that was hanging on the other side rebuked him and says, "Dost not thou fear God?" He said, "Seeing that thou art in the same condemnation." He said, "You're condemned to die just like I am and just like this man called Jesus is." And here's what he said, "We indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss." And then he said this, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." I believe that he knew who the Lord Jesus Christ truly was. And if I could preach for just a minute or two tonight, as one fellow told me at lunch today, he said, "Don't say you're going to be short because you'll be long for sure." But if I could preach for a little bit, I want to preach on a simple thought of when God saves a sinner. And I believe right here I see one of the plainest applications and that of salvation of somebody that was dying in their sin and dying for their sin of Christ saving them. You find right here that first of all, he was convinced of his sin. If you notice this malefactor right here, he was convinced. He said, "You're in the same condemnation that I am. And we indeed justly." We were condemned justly for what we done. We were guilty of everything they said we were guilty of. Listen, I remember the night that I got saved, I got convinced that I was lost. You know, for a sinner to get saved, they gotta get convinced that they're a sinner. They gotta get convinced that they're dying. They gotta get convinced that they're gonna die without Christ, and He's the only one. They gotta get convinced that they're guilty, and that against Christ Jesus the Lord. You say, "Well, they had to do a lot." And I know that as Baptist preachers, a lot of times we say, "You gotta do, you gotta do, you gotta do." But I'm telling you, when the Holy Spirit comes by and convinces a man, that's what it takes tonight. And this old boy got convinced in his own way and in his own mind. And I'll be honest with you tonight, friend. You probably didn't have to convince him too much that he was guilty because he knew whether he done it or not. You know, the thing about today is we got folk that don't even realize or even think that they're bad people because they've never really done anything bad. But yet in the eyes and in the judgment of God, they're just as wicked and vile as any other lost sinner out there in the whole world. The Bible said in Romans chapter 3 that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. A few verses prior to that, he said, "Now we know that whatsoever things the law said, it said to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God." The whole world stands guilty before God. Everybody. Man, woman, boy, girl, your mamma and papa, no matter how good they were, there was a day that they were guilty before God. Your mom and daddy, as sweet, as great as they are, there was a day that they stood guilty before God. As loving and as sweet as your children are, there was a day that they stood guilty before God. And there comes a time that one of us or all of us, let me say it that way, had to realize that we stood guilty before a just and an almighty God. And this boy, he's realizing what he's done. He's realizing that he's guilty for all of this. And he knew that death was going to be the punishment for it. You realize that because of our sin, death is imminent. I mean, Romans chapter 6 and verse 23 says that for the wages of sin is death. Romans 5 and 12 said, "Wherefore as by one man sin in the world, death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned." And so we die because of sin tonight. And by the way, let me say this, that Romans 6 and 23 applies in that to lost or saved people alike. For the wages of sin is death. There's been a lot of people died early because of their sin. Been a lot of saved people died early because of their sin. Yeah, I believe that this old boy, he realized that, that he stood guilty. He was guilty of what they said he had done, and he knew that. And he knew that death was coming to get him. He knew that just in a few minutes he was going to die. What if you knew you were going to die in a few minutes? You know, there's been some people know that. They knew that. I think sometimes for the, I think all the time for the child of God, God kind of enlightens the child of God before He takes them. You may not agree to that, but I do. I believe that with all my heart. I believe He starts to give that dying grace that the children of God get. Amen. That David talks about, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou, he said, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I believe when you get ready to cross, I believe God gets you ready to cross. And I believe there's some grace there to help you cross. But listen, he began to understand death was imminent. He understood he was guilty. But there wasn't nothing he could do in his cell. He was convinced of his guilt, and he was convinced that death was coming. But then he got convinced about who Jesus was. Well, notice what, if you go back to the back of, go back to the book of Matthew, you go back to the book of Matthew, you'll find that it says over there that they both cast in their teeth about railing upon him. I believe when they first hung them all up, I believe both them malefactors, both them thieves railed upon him. But I believe something happened to one of them. Ain't you glad something happened to you one day? You got convinced of your guilt. You got convinced how that you were dying and there was nothing you could do in yourself. And you got convinced about who Jesus was. Because he said unto Jesus in verse 42, notice how he calls out to him. He said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. As I read that late this afternoon and looked over this, I thought even that way, he knew who the Lord was. He addressed him as Lord. He knew him. He wanted to know him as Lord. But he said, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And you know, to apply that he has a kingdom, had to apply that he was king. And so he even realized that Jesus was king. He was convinced of who Jesus was. He was convinced that Jesus had done no wrong. Boy, I tell you, people today ain't even convinced about that. These people sitting in churches not even convinced about that. They think he was just a sinner man just like anybody else, but he was good and he done good works. But Jesus was perfect, friend. That's why he could go to Calvary and die for my sin and your sin. For Christ has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And I believe that he was convinced of what he could do. Because he said, remember me when thou comest in to thy kingdom. I remember that night that we had, I believe it was one of our Christmas programs, and I sat right here on the edge of this front row right here a couple of years ago, and as I was trying to get something from the Lord, and all I had was just a little bit of scripture, and that's all I had for that night. What I remember is God directed and helped, and boy, I'm glad God does that. And I remember talking about folk going to paradise. You know, things are a little different then than it is now. We go to heaven. That's where paradise is. It was moved to heaven. You know, he took captivity captive, you know. And paradise used to be in the heart of the earth. And I ain't got all the time to go into that doctrine. But listen, I believe that in my mind, I think about when this... that those that were in paradise were looking for Jesus to come. You know, Moses and Elijah met with Jesus over there on the Mount of Transfiguration. And they, you know, the one thing they talked about was his decease. That's what the Bible tells us. They talked about him dying. I don't know what they talked about, but that's what they talked about. And I kind of wonder if he didn't tell Moses and Elijah, you just be gathering them up, getting them ready, because I'm a-coming. And there's a lot of things that took place down there that I don't know about. But oh boy, I'm glad he went down there. The Bible told about that he preached to the spirits that were in prison, you know. And I kind of think about when that malefactor got into paradise, that one, somebody might have said, are you him? You remember that? Remember, Brother Jeff, I was talking about that night. Are you him? And I kind of imagined in my mind when that malefactor got there that he said, no, I ain't him, but right there he is. He followed him right in. He knew him. Listen, he knew what he looked like. He knew who he was. Why? He had a personal experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. He got convinced about some things. Well, I'm telling you, when you get convinced about some things, it changes some things. It does. You've got to get convinced about being a sinner. But if you ever get convinced about who He is and what He can do for you, it'll change your life, friend. Number two, I want you to see what He done. He called out, didn't He? He got convinced, but then He called out upon the Lord. Notice right here, He said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. You know, there is no perfect prayer to pray to get saved. Let me say that again. There is no perfect prayer to pray to get saved. If you come to pray to get saved, that's the perfect prayer. There is no special words that you can use. There's nothing that you can write down on a piece of paper that will work and make it work every time until you get convinced who He is and then you call out from Him from your heart. See, the difference here, friend, is I believe that as this old boy called out right here, he was calling out from his heart. He said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. I still believe Romans 10:13, when he said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I believe if you come to get saved and you call out, if you realize that you're a sinner and you need to get saved and you call out to the Lord, He'll save you. I believe that with all my heart tonight. That's easy believing. What else do you want to do? Well, what about a work of repentance? I believe faith and repentance works together. Well, I remember one Friday, man, I'm telling you, I was over at the nursing home and I was preaching on salvation. Just preaching a plain message on how to get saved. How can you mess that up? How can a preacher mess up preaching on salvation? I didn't mess it up, by the way. Don't get excited now. And it was a bad morning. I mean, it was a real, real bad morning. I was in revival that week. We was dealing with some things. And it was a bad morning to be at the nursing home. But I felt like that's where I needed to be. And I go over there and preach on salvation about believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and just asking Him to save you. If you know you're lost and coming to get saved, and you just plead with Him from your heart, He'll save you. And there was a lady over there. She wasn't a resident in the nursing home. She'd come to visit. And she said, she came up to me after the service. She said, you didn't say nothing about repentance. And there's a doctrine so much. And we want to split hairs so much. And I do believe in repentance. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I believe that godly sorrow works with repentance. I know what the Bible says. I know what it means to turn from. But I believe it all works together, friend. I believe faith and repentance works together. I believe when you come knowing you're a sinner and want to get saved and you ask Christ to save you, you repent of your sins, you ask Him to save you, and He does that. It's all a work of faith that works together all at the same time. Because if it's something different, then it's a work and not something by faith. So He called upon the name of the Lord and He said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. You know, they told the Philippian jailer in Acts chapter 16, when he come out there and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said unto him, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thine house. Just trust Him. I think salvation is easy. Now, I do not believe you can walk up to a Coke machine and hand somebody a tract and say, would you like to get saved today? And they said, sure, what do I need to pray? And you give them a little three-step prayer and they pray it. If God's not dealing with them, I don't think they can get saved. But I do know this, that if you walk up to a Coke machine and you hand them a tract and God had been dealing with them and they want to get saved, God will save them right there at that Coke machine. I believe that with all my heart. And so He calls out upon the Lord. Let me say this too, by the way. Let me say this. We think folk have to be, you know, the night that I got saved, I didn't go to church under conviction. I didn't go to church looking to get saved. But by the time I left there, conviction had found me, and I got saved that night. Right? Amen. So he calls upon the Lord. So he gets convinced about what his life was and where he's at. He's about to die. He knows he's guilty. He knows who Jesus is. And so he calls upon the Lord. And Jesus tells him, "Verily I say unto thee today, thou shalt be with me in paradise." And so we find right here, number three, not only was he convinced and he was called, that he called out, but then we find that it's a work of grace right here. This old boy's hanging on a tree. He's hanging at Calvary with the Lord Jesus Christ dying in his sin. He cannot come down and get baptized. He cannot live any longer and do any good works. There's nothing else he can do other than call out. Do you think this fellow went to paradise? I do. I believe he got saved. Now, I believe in dispensations in the Bible. I'm not a hyper dispensationalist. I'm not. If I was a hyper dispensationalist, then all you'd ever hear me preach out of was Romans to Philemon. I do believe you draw local New Testament doctrine for the local New Testament church from Romans to Philemon. But he gave us this whole book to read and to understand. And I believe right here we learn and we find out that this is a work of grace when the Apostle Paul says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." That fellow hanging at Calvary, beside the Lord Jesus Christ, could not boast of one thing that he done to get saved. I don't suggest that you wait till you almost get ready to die to trust Jesus, but I know this, that this boy right here, when he put his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that was the end of it. He didn't have time to do different. He did not have time to join the church. He did not have time to do any of those things except call out. And I believe Jesus saved him on the spot. He believed and trusted, and that's all it takes. I want you to look in verse 43 when Jesus said, "Verily I say unto thee today, thou shalt be with me in paradise." Number four, we find that this salvation gave him assurance. He is fixing to die. He's fixing to die. Every one of us is dying and we don't know when. Do you have assurance of heaven? You know, Christ gave us the exact same thing. He said, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." What did he say to us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5? Take your Bible and look with me in 2 Corinthians 5. Go there with me and look. Did he not give us the same promise? Well, Christ ain't talked to me. Read your Bible. Oh, he'd speak to you every day if you just read your Bible. He'd talk to you every day if you'd read your Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 1 ought to excite us. He said, "For we know..." K-N-O-W. "For we know." Do you know? "For we know. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so, with that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life." What's he saying, preacher? He talks about the tabernacle, and that's this body that we're in. And he says, look, he says in heaven, he said, "But we know that if the earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." And I know most of y'all have heard me say this, but I think it bears saying again. I'll never forget listening to Brother Ted Pegram preach that funeral that day. And Brother Ted, his cancer had went to his brain at that time. His speech was slurred. And he was walking with a walker, and he stands up to preach, and he preaches out of his scripture right here. And I ain't never forgot what he said when he talked about the tabernacle. He said, "The tabernacle is nothing no more than a tent." And he said, "How many of us want to live in a tent all our life when you can have a house that's in heaven?" I thought to myself, well, glory. Listen right here. He has gave the child of God assurance of what's going to happen when we leave here. When this body gives up its mortality, its life, when it's given up, then friend, it'll be swallowed up in eternal life. Oh, we come down to verse 8. And he said, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Jesus told that malefactor, that thief, who had just got saved, he said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. You know what he tells us? To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That ought to excite us. That ought to excite us. It's a work of grace that we have, that He done something for us without us doing it. And then He gives us assurance of where we're going when we die, and assurance of our salvation while we might be here. Hebrews 10 said, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. Reckon that helped that old boy hanging on the cross. He knew he was dying. He was shedding blood just like Jesus was, except Jesus' blood was perfect. His was not. This old boy's dying. I mean, he's up here dying. He's going to draw his last breath here pretty soon. And he needs some assurance and he needs some peace about eternity. Ain't you glad you can have peace about eternity? Don't have to die and go to hell, but you can die and go to heaven and have peace about that thing. Boy, I'm glad He gives us peace in our heart. It brought a confession out of Him. If we go back and look in the text scripture again, He said, Lord, remember me. Let me back up into verse 41. We indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man had done nothing amiss. Jesus ain't done nothing wrong. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He confessed who Jesus was and what Jesus could do for him. I believe he trusted Him. I believe he believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And even though that he could not go and tell anybody what Jesus done for him, it's recorded right here in this book. And there was a confession that he made that Jesus was Lord. And that Jesus was King. You remember in Mark chapter 5 when Legion got saved over there and he wanted to go be with Jesus and Jesus said, you can't go with me. But he said, go home and tell thy friends what great things the Lord, what great things and what compassion the Lord has had on thee. And the Bible tells us that starting right there where he was, he began to tell folk. Have you ever told folk you got saved? I think most everybody in here is saved tonight. I've heard you testify at one time or another. Most folk, you need to tell folk what Christ has done for you. You need to tell that. You know, the Bible said, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer. And every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is within you with meekness and fear. I think you need to tell somebody. But then number 6, and last of all, I want you to notice something right here. It didn't take long at all for him to get saved. Verily, he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. I believe he was saved right there. Just like that. There's no second work of grace. There's nothing else that we can do. There's no receiving of the Holy Spirit later when you got saved. When you asked Christ to come into your heart, He saved you right there. And you got it all. You are complete in Him, Colossians 2 and 10 says. And He takes care of it all. I'm glad salvation is not hard. We make it hard. But it is so easy that even a child can come and get saved. Let's bow our heads tonight if we would. Brother Marvin, come up here to the piano. I just want you to play.
just want you to play tonight. Right now, I just want you to play. Just pick something. It's always a reminder. It's always a good thing to have a reminder of what Jesus has done for you. For you to think back to the day or the night where you trusted Christ. It's good to think back to that time. To be reminded of where He found you at and what He done for you. You know why? Because that ought to make you want to serve Him. Or to make you want to do something for Him. Don't you want to do something for Him, church? I do, boy. I'm telling you, He's been so good to me. Even in all the messes and the scrapes that I've been in over the years and not done things right, He's still been so good to me. But if you've never been saved tonight, I want you to understand that Jesus loves you and wants to save you. You're no better than that malefactor, no better than that thief that was hanging next to Jesus. You need to get saved. No matter how good you are. Some of you tonight, you remember where you was. And while you got your head bowed, why don't you just thank God for saving you tonight? Why don't you just thank Him? You don't have to come up here. Unless you want to come to this altar. If you want to come, you come. I'd encourage you to come. But why don't you just thank Him?